Blog Talk Radio.
When all foundations have been shaken, when I'm left standing in the dark, and all I feel is my heart breaking, you still reign and you're still God. And when it feels all hope is fading, the heavy questions hit so and though my soul may feel forsaken, you still reign and you're still God. Though I can't see what's before me, I know that I can trust your heart, and this one truth will be my story. Declare that you are with me, though voices whisper that you're not. You'll never leave me nor forsake me, 'cause you still reign and you're still God. Fix my eyes upon you, Jesus.
I don't care what come our way today. He still reigns. And Jehovah is still God. And his son, Jesus Christ, is still the mediator for us. Mm-hmm. I believe he carried our petitions to Jehovah, Almighty God, who have all power. Hallelujah. I'm excited this morning. I thank God for another Thursday morning. We are almost at the week completely in. You hear me? Time is rolling fast, and I thank God for it. Thank God that time is going on, and we just got to do all that we can in this time that we have. And I'm thankful unto him this morning. It's a little cool here in the morning, but in the afternoon it warms up. But it's been raining off and on since yesterday, so it's a little bit cooler than normal. But I thank God. I thank God. I didn't have to wear a jacket or a coat or anything, but it's nice and, you know, cool. And so we thank him even for the weather. Yeah, because he know what he's doing. Yeah. Again this morning, remember the earth is his, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. So he controls the weather, yeah. He can control everything. And so we're thankful unto him again and again and again. We can never thank him enough. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So today, we're going to prayer. We're going to prayer shortly. But today our topic is the greatest words ever spoken. The greatest words ever spoken. How many know there's power in words? Parents can speak negative things to their children, and when they grow up, this thing will still be in them. Yeah, they have doubts because of what the parents said. A parent can speak positive things to their children, and when they become adults, you can't take that, but you can't tell them what they can't do because the parent have instilled great words in them that they remember and they believe. Yeah. Today we're looking at Romans chapter 10 and verse 7. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Words are important. Words, again, are very powerful. Words can make you or break you. Yep, words. I know they say sticks and stones may break my bones, but words are never, yes, words will. Words will break your bones. Words will give you a breakdown. Words can impact your mental state, your mental health state. Yep, words. But the greatest words ever spoken, we're going to find out about that in a little while. But let's go to God in prayer this morning. We're praying that prayer of faith, because it's the prayer of faith that makes us whole. It is the prayer of faith that completes us, because we're praying from our heart. And this is what God deals with. He deals with that heart. This is how he knows the very intent of our heart. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we thank you. We come thanking you this morning. We come with all thanksgiving in our hearts and minds unto you. Father, we thank you this morning for all you've done already, what you're doing right now, and Father, what you're going to do, great and mighty things. And Father, today, we thank you. All over and over and over again, we thank you because you've been good to us. You've been better to us than we could ever be to ourselves. You have all power, and there's nothing too hard for you to do. Father, with you, all things are possible. And we thank you this morning for waking us up, closing our right minds. Thank you for the use and activity of our limbs. Father, we thank you for life, health and strength. Things could be so much worse. Oh, but God, you're faithful to your people. And Lord, you're looking beyond our fault and yet meeting our needs. You're on our side today in spite of us. You said we could cast our cares upon you, for you careth for us. And this morning we come bow down, casting every care upon you. Father, we come asking that you would forgive us for all our sins and wrongdoings in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you. We thank you for forgiving us and putting our sins in the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember them again. We thank you this morning. And Father, we come this morning and We're grateful unto you. We appreciate you. We love you, for it was you who first loved us. And we come today asking, Lord, that you would fix our hearts and regulate our minds. We need you today. Without you, we can do nothing. And Father, we come asking that whatever we think we need, God, it may not be what we need, but it may be what we think we need. But Lord, you know the true need. Supply today. In the name of Jesus. And Father, help us to walk upright before you today. Help us to remember your word in every situation that happens. Help us to remember your word, for your word is a lamp unto our feet. Father, it's a light unto our path. Forever, O God, thy word is settled in heaven. And Lord, keep us today. We need you to keep us because we can't really keep ourselves. We need your spirit to keep us and to help us to walk according to your word. Father, so much is going on right now. And the enemy is really at work right now, recruiting as many as possible. Don't even care about what's coming out about them. They're so busy recruiting. They're so busy obeying their daddy, the devil. Help me this morning, oh God, that we pray for your people to come out of darkness into your marvelous light. Father, we ask this morning that light shines in darkness, and this time when you shine the light their way, that they will come to you. But Father, no matter their situation, you will in no wise cast them out. You wish that none should perish. Do it today, God. For those who have not received you yet, draw. You said if you be lifted up, you would draw all men unto you. Draw today as we lift you up in song, as we lift you up in prayer, Father. As we lift you up in praise and worship this morning, draw unto you in the name of Jesus. You know who's ready. Oh, glory to his majesty. Father, today we pray a special prayer for our children, our adult children, our young children, just our children in general. Father, we ask this morning that you would lead and guide them in the right paths for your name's sake. We ask that you would loose your protecting angels to stand watch, to shield and protect our children from all evil that's coming their way. Father, we ask today that you would remind our children what we taught them about you, and that, Lord, you are able to draw them closer to you in the name of Jesus. Fix it for each of them today. You know what they're standing in need of. Help today, oh God. In the name of Jesus, Father, every caller, every listener, bless this morning like never before. Move by your spirit for your people this day. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Father, you know our prayer requests. I touch and agree with every caller and every listener concerning their own personal prayer requests. Lord, asking that you would move where two or three are gathered in your name is touching and agreeing. Father, we believe not only you in the midst, but you hear and answer. Hallelujah. So we're thankful unto you this morning. Father, we ask that you would bless those that are sick, those that are under the weather, may not be feeling well, been given a diagnosis and it wasn't a positive one this morning. Father, we ask that you would touch and heal today. You took a beating for the healing of the nation. You heal all manner of sickness and disease. Do it today for these, your people, in the name of Jesus. Every family member, oh God, near and far, that's sick or going through, heal today. In Jesus' name, we're asking you. But Father, we know that you're able. Hallelujah. Again this morning, there's nothing too hard for you. Father, bless those that are incarcerated, those that are in every branch of the military. Father, our administration of our military, bless this morning. Father, we ask that you bless widowers again, bereaved families, intercessory prayer people, preachers, Israel, Jerusalem, our brothers and sisters overseas. Father, continue to bless America and the leadership of America, and have mercy continually in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for hearing our prayer today. Bless this segment of Jesus in the Morning. Move by your spirit here today for the sake of your people. In the name of Jesus. But Father, we love you today. We're grateful to you. We appreciate you. We can't tell you thank you enough. Father, help us this morning to worship you in spirit and in truth, not in our flesh, not in what we like and don't like, but in spirit and in truth, in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We give you the glory. We give you the honor and praise. Again, in Jesus' name, we ask it all. Amen and hallelujah unto his majesty. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you this morning. We can't thank you enough because you've been so good to us. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you. Night could have come upon us, but God, you kept the sun shining. Hallelujah. Day could have came upon us at not the right time, but God, you kept night to keep us safe. And we thank you this day for all you've done for us. Oh, we thank you. We thank you. We can't thank you enough. We give you glory. We give you the honor and praise this morning. But Father, there's none like you. We can search all over. We won't find anybody, nobody, nowhere greater than Jehovah that have all power. Hallelujah. There's no higher power. We thank you this morning. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I'm grateful to him. I appreciate him this morning. He's on our side in spite of us, looking beyond our fault and yet meeting our needs. So this morning I wanted to see if we could find us a song and get our praise on this morning, because there's none like him. And when we praise God, the blessings of God come down upon us. Yeah, they taught me the praises go up and the blessings of God come down upon you. And not only that, he's worthy this morning. He's worthy to be praised. And many of us have unsaved people in our family. Sometimes we have saved people, but they haven't quite got it all together and different things. So we want God to draw. And his word said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And so that's what we want to do today. We want to lift him up. Yeah. Somebody said, I wonder who would help me lift Jesus. Lift him higher and higher. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So I want to go to this one and worship. And when we come back, we are coming back to talk about our topic and give our scriptures for the day. Hallelujah. Let's go with this one.
This next song is a favorite of mine because I stop and think of why I love Jesus. Mm-hmm. And the first thing that comes to mind is I love him because he first loved me.
Amen.
I love him because he looked beyond my faults and he sees all of my needs. I love him because in spite of Edward, he still loves me. I love him because he meets every need. And not only the need, but he supplies and gives me my heart's desire. Thanks, you know, a lot of things we don't even need. We don't even need them, but just because we want them, God gives them to us. Hallelujah. Pray for us as we come with, Lord, I love you. praise you.
Lord, I praise you.
Yes, I praise you. I really praise you.
I really praise
just for who you are.
Just for who you are.
In all of your glory.
In all of your glory.
My heart sings.
My heart sings.
Holy.
Holy. Holy.
Thank you.
Radio not just for your ears, but also for your spirit. Jesus in the Morning Radio. And you're with Barbara.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What a song. Lord, I love you. Yeah. He's come out, he started off sharing this with us. He said that God give us thanks. It's not something we really need, but it's what we want, and God will go on and allow us to have these things. Yeah. It's many different things that we need to pay attention to, because God is faithful. He's on our side in spite of us. He's looking beyond our faults and yet meeting our needs, and we don't really pay attention. It's my thing. We do what we want to do. Yeah, it's my thing. I'm going to do it how I want to do it. And so if you don't like it, roll on past me. That's how they roll it now. Mm-hmm. But we tell God thank you. And we want to be right in his sight. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so grateful unto him this morning for all he has done, what he's doing right now, and what he's going to do. Great and mighty things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And you know, I love people. I can't help myself. I love people. And thank you, Sister Irene. And it's sad many days. Of the way that people are. You're there. You're always there. And they don't support nothing. They don't do nothing. And they run when they need something. Mm-hmm. This is the way of people. And now you want to tell me you don't understand. Come on now. Stop it. I say. But I see that a lot. Even with church-going people, people saying, I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God, I'm this, I'm that. But it's strange, because where the true God is, you don't want to be. You want to be everywhere else but where the true God is. And you're building your own empire. It's going to crash one day. We got to get our foundation from God so it'll be solid. Yeah, so when the wind and the rain come, it won't blow our house away. We got a solid house on solid foundation. But when we skip the building of the foundation, we'll find ourselves in trouble somewhere. In trouble, yeah. And then we want to call on God. And when we had the opportunity to really call on him, and grow in him, get a solid foundation in him. We didn't do it. We were too busy running and chasing after this and that and stuff and things and people. And I got this podcast. I got this going on. I got this page. I'm a creator. I'm a YouTuber. Too much. Yeah. I try to keep it on the straight and narrow. Radio is for listening. And see, many people can't stand still long enough to listen. They need to see it. I've gotten on Shantae. Look, mama, I don't hear with my eyes. I see with my eyes, but I hear with my ears. I can hear you. Why I gotta look when I can hear? Yeah. So it's a lot of that going on today because people are not in tune to what they really need to be in tune to. And their eyes, they got to see, but we got to be careful with the lust of the eye. We got to be careful with some things. Yeah. I try to make sure I have coming in things about God. And this morning, the Lord really surprised me. It was just a flood of godly stuff, the word, prayers, this, that, and the other, godly. Because we need to keep our mind on him. We need to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. Yeah. We need to delight ourselves in him. He's going to give us the desires of our hearts. But we are too busy trying to get them for ourselves. We're trying to get the desires and not allow God to give. Many times we want to do his job because we don't walk by faith. We walk by sight. We want to see where we're going and try to figure out where we're going to end up. But that's not God. You got to let go and let God have his way. Really trust him with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He's going to direct your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear God and depart from evil. I've given this scripture out to many people many times. God even gave specific instructions. Stay in the book right here for 3 days. Stay right here and don't come out. Stay right here for the next 7 days. Stay right here for the next 24 hours. Whatever he gave, they did it and forgot all about it. Yeah, they don't remember it, none of that, because they're building their own empire. And they done forgot what God told them. So they moving on to the next thing. That done got boring. So I'm moving on. And see, many times we do songs become like that. And I said, when a song become like that, I got to watch that. Because the songs of Zion is not boring. And they won't get boring to spiritual ears. They'll only get really boring to natural ears. So we have to be careful. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And then we have to be in the spirit of worship when we playing stuff. The spirit of praise when we playing songs. Yeah, all of this is important. But this morning, we are talking about the greatest words ever spoken. We've heard many great words. The second greatest The second greatest is words. For God so loved the world. For God so loved. I'm going to put that part. Those are some of the sweetest, greatest words you ever want to hear. I know when you hear you won. Somebody won a lottery and they thought of you and they said, well, I'm going to come by and I'm going to drop you off $5,000, $10,000. That ought to help you a while. Oh boy, we get excited. Those are great words for us. A man asked a woman to marry him. Boy, she almost passed. He don't want me with the ring, all the greatest words at the moment she ever wanted to hear. The doctor announces it's a girl or it's a boy. Some dads, they just jumping up and down. They so excited. I got a son. That's what I wanted. When they heard it's a boy, all kind of excitement come. Those were the greatest words to them. A child's first word, he said, da-da. Oh, boy, look at here. The daddy just fall all over himself. He called me daddy first. He know who going to be there for him. He know who got his back. This my boy. Yeah, excited. Women win beauty pageants. fashion shows and all kind of things. And they say, you won. Oh, those are the greatest words. Sometimes when we hear our children say, I love you, oh, we melt up like butter. Especially them grandkids. Oh, my goodness. When the husband tell the wife, baby, I love you, oh, we melt up like butter. The wife tell the husband, honey, I love you. Oh, my goodness. Greatest words. The second greatest words I heard was, for God so loved. And as I continue to read John 3:16, he so loved the world, which I was a part of the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believe on him won't perish, but have everlasting life. Those were some of the sweetest, greatest words ever, because it gave me an opportunity not to go to hell. And I found out through words, I could go back with him when he come. He was coming back looking for his church. He believed in that because he's the head of the church. He died for it. And so when I heard these words, it, you know, allowed me to know I had a chance. The power in these words are overwhelming if heard what our spiritual ears, for God so loved. Yet there are a few more powerful words that top God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Yeah. If we believe and walk in faith with it, it means everything to us. Again, there are more powerful words. Yeah. So look, we're looking over in Romans. I'm looking at the 10th chapter in the 17th verse. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you look at Galatians chapter 3 and 2, verse 2, this only what I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. Words are, it's a powerful thing. Words are very powerful. Many went to college, and at the university, they was teaching some heavy words. Many picked up, many could understand. And they took these words and put them on paper. And they wrote papers, big papers, theses and all of this, and they took some of them and was able to reuse them back at the university, and other universities took it up. And words, powerful words, words that would help students graduate from the university, words that would help the professor teach classes that people could understand, pass, graduate, go out in the world and be what they call productive in the natural. An educated person in my world, you have street sense, book sense, and you have spiritual sense. That's an educated person. They don't just have book sense. Oh, and I forgot to add this in there. Common sense. Now, that's an educated. Common sense, street sense, spiritual sense, and book sense. Oh, you educated. You know some things. You should have some wisdom. You should be able to help some other people along the way. Mm-hmm. We live in a big world. Every country there is that you know about, you can learn something from that country. But how would I learn? Reading. Words. Powerful. Powerful. Sometimes people can speak a word to you and it just resonates. I think that's the right pronunciation. It just works with you. It just touches you. It's, oh yeah, I believe that. Words. Words are important and powerful. Philemon says, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. Hearing. Because the only way you're going to hear the word, know about words being spoken, you got to hear what they said to you. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we get in the word, we'll hear many more powerful words that come from heaven, that come from Almighty God. Somebody said, no, he just talked to the prophets. No, he talks to everybody. We just don't know it because, again, this morning we haven't communed in fellowship with him long enough to know that we're his sheep. And his sheep know his voice, and a stranger they would not follow. Yeah. But we got to hear the words of the Lord. It's very important. We got to receive the Spirit of God to know. Because if we're just walking in us, a lot of things being said spiritually, we won't know about it. It won't mean anything to us. It means absolutely nothing. Why is that, Barbara? Because the Spirit don't agree. The Spirit is not connected. And then eventually I'm going to forget it and I'm going to let it dwindle on down until it dwindles away from me. Yeah. But if the Spirit indeed touches and moves, you'll remember. You will remember. And the next time you hear it, it excites you just as well. Because the Spirit of God, it leads and guides us into all truth. It brings things back to our remembrance. It'll tell you which way to go and which way not to go. And again, men, they don't know that they heard from God, but they thought it was just the way they think. Oh, I thought of that. Just don't go down G Street, go down E Street. Yeah, no. The Spirit is moving for you. Many times I was late for an appointment and I was so hated that. Oh, and I was just upset over it. And the Lord spoke and said, if you'd have left 5 minutes earlier, you'd have died. Huh? If you'd have left 5 minutes earlier, you would have been in a bad accident. You would have left 5 minutes earlier, a plane crashed, or this or that. Because I was so upset because I was late. But he postponed things to spare my life. I've heard many people say, that was God's will. And it was. It was his will. I went to places, I went to do one thing and got there, God had another. Sometimes you don't hear words, he just moves. I know I've shared many times I was on my way to Birmingham, Alabama by way of Greyhound, and I was just relaxing and enjoying my trip. I didn't have to drive. Oh, I didn't have to do nothing but just sit back and me to driving to them and just relax. And I was crocheting shoes. Oh, I crocheted a bunch of shoes on that bus ride. And got to Alabama, Atlanta. I got to Atlanta and they rerouted the bus to Montgomery. See, because I was supposed to go straight into Birmingham. But they rerouted it and I went straight into Montgomery. Got there and there was a baby walking around bare feet. And those shoes was for her. And I asked the mom, I said, you mind if she have these shoes? And she told me, no, I gave all of them. And I had crocheted some nice ones. And so the mom and I started talking, and the Lord began to speak to her, because she was wondering, why did she have to go back to the same company? And they asked her to come back. She was willing to go back. They paid for housing, transportation, everything. But she took the transportation money, and instead of her and the baby flying, they caught the bus. That saved some money. You see, crocheting the shoes, I had no idea I was going to meet the woman with the bare feet baby. He didn't speak. It just come into me strong to make me shoes and relax and enjoy on the bus ride. Mm-hmm. He give you ideas to do things. You think it's you. But if you really investigate it, you're going to figure out that was God. Nobody but you, Lord. But we've got to let go and let God have his way. We must let go and let God have his way. I know somebody say, well, what is the greatest words ever spoken she talked about yesterday? She said today she would show us what they are. This is just a little introduction this morning I wanted to share. The greatest words I've ever heard was, he is risen. He is risen. They went looking for him. He wasn't there. They said that his clothes, the death clothes, were just put over there. But the napkin was folded up because he wasn't through. He was coming back. The napkin they put over your face, the grave napkin, I call it. Yeah. Said many different things about the tomb, many different things about him, but he wasn't there when they got there because he is risen. And my question to you this morning, I've asked this many years coming into what they call Resurrection Sunday, and some people still call it Easter. Has he risen in you? Self-inventory. Check it. Has God really risen in you? Has Jesus risen in you? If he has, are you on fire for him? Are you stirring up the gifts that he gave you so that you can work in the vineyard? Because he's short workers out there. The harvest is plenteous, but the labors are few. And we pray that the Lord of the harvest would send more labors, but how about the labor he called and chose you for? Greatest words I ever heard, he is risen. Because he give us all the hope we need. It give us time to prepare. It give us time to build a relationship one-on-one with Almighty God that have all power through his Son, Jesus Christ. He is risen. Greatest words I ever heard. Yeah. So I wanted to just share that little introduction this morning, and I want to go down and share something else with us today. I know we remember the testimony of the guy who he testified that it was some strange stuff going on. I think he was dead for 3 minutes and 47 seconds, and he said he was with a friend, and everywhere they went, this man was there. He said, and he told his friend, hey, man, that man, they're following us. And he said, oh, you paranoid about everybody. And they went on. They were shopping and preparing for something. And the man shot him. And he said he fell backwards. But he landed in this dark place. And he was face down, headed down. Now, after the shot, He said he smelled like matches burning, and he saw the flash. He said he fell backward, but in the darkness, he was face down. He said, and he started realizing some things. He was in hell. Yeah. And he said he didn't believe in hell. You know, he thought it was a fantasy and a way that the church kept people, you know, in line and stuff like that. He said, but he found out hell was really true. So I wanted to share this one again this morning with us, and because I want us to stay focused, and I want us to remember to be holy because God is holy, and we want to walk in the light of things. And I found some stuff out that when you focus, and when that enemy come and talk to you, you bind him up. Keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it. Because if you resist him, he gonna flee. Calmness will come in. And once calmness come in, you're gonna be good. You're able to really see the big picture. You're able to see the light. You're able to see those people wasn't against me. I let the enemy come in, talk, and trick me. Because now is the time for prayer. Now is the time to stand up and hold up the blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ. Because the world has already become wickeder and wiser. And it's getting more and more. Evil is not enough for man because he can't do enough evil. This morning I was looking at another article over on LinkedIn. A man gave made a big powerful video and told the owner how he had worked for the company sometimes 20 hours a day to help build the company. He took it from 6 people to 60 people. And the man had nothing for him really but a paycheck. He didn't even remember nothing really about the man, if I'm honest. So if that taught me something, we need to give it all to God. If you want to do something, witness for 20 hours. You want to do something to hit the streets and talk of his wondrous works and make known his deeds among the people. When he said, call somebody, pick the phone up and call them and encourage them. When you see a stranger in dire need, God loves a cheerful giver, and you got to give. It's important. Time is wound up. They used to say time is wound. It's wound up. Jesus is soon to come. I believe that. I'm seeing too much of the scriptures being fulfilled, but he said when it's gone out to every end of the world, everybody had the opportunity to receive the gospel. There's a cutoff date. Right now, he's our Lord and Savior, but he's coming back one day as the judge. What will we do? I can't go before God and say, on that day, I was having mental health problems. What? I can't go to him and say, well, on that day, I was flirting. I had Phil Simmons from Big Larry that day. I wanted to tease with him. No, ma'am. I said what I meant in my word, and I meant what I said. And I even gave you ideas, and I even spoke to you, and you knew it was me speaking. You don't have an excuse. I want to get us into a more serious place with God. He's worthy this morning to be glorified. He's worthy this morning to be respected. You know how you have casual and then you have formal? At formal outings, you may have the updo, hairdo, and the evening gown, and the glit, and the glam, and the bling bling, and all of this. Casual, you just may have on some jeans, a t-shirt, and some sneakers. I think with God, we need to give him more formal. We need to give God our best, our very best. We don't need to take down from him all the cussing saints, well, the cussing Christians, they call it themselves. All of the lying Christians, those that's chasing after money, those that's using the name of God to build their own empire, but it's all about them. They don't even believe in God. Come on now. They don't even have faith, not in God. They have faith in a dollar bill. They have faith in work. They have faith in tricking you. They have faith in building this and building that so they can get this. But listen, we got to keep the faith in God because he's all we got. He's all we all have, really, but many don't realize that. Many don't know without God they can't do nothing. They think it's them. They think they have the ability. But you don't. God gave you the ability. Hallelujah. Without him, you wouldn't be doing what you're doing. So if ever there was a time to come to God, now is that time. So I wanted to play that video again for us this morning so that we can take a listen to that. And I was checking out a few more things, and I know yesterday I brought the wolf is at the door, and that's important for us too. As often as we can hear, faith cometh by hearing the word of God, and hearing the word of God. We need to keep this going. Anything that keep our memory stayed on him that would cause us to walk upright before him, this is where we need to be. This is what I need to hear. Hallelujah. And it's all right today in Jesus' name. And we're grateful unto him this morning. We appreciate him. We love him. He's on our side. We're on his side. And we want to show him that we're for him today. I'm for no other than him. There's no other God I want to worship other than him. Jehovah God. Because he and his son, the scriptures say they are one. Yeah. Yet, Jesus is the son and the word. And I'm so thankful I know that today. And I'm so thankful there's no secrets in him. Now, there was a secret, but he made the secret known unto man that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and God made the Word flesh, and this flesh dwelt among men. It talks about grace and truth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. There's none like him. We can search all over. We won't find nobody. Nobody greater than Almighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah to his majesty. Yeah, he has done great things for us. Great things over and over again. To wake up in the morning is a great thing. I know many of us take it for granted, but ask somebody dead and see what they tell you. Yeah. To know him is a great thing. Ask somebody who don't know, for God so loved the world, and listen at the craziness they talk to you. God chose you. He drew you. Think on these things. He has not drawn everybody, but he drew you. Should make you feel loved that God so loved me. He drew me. I'm not still out here blowing in the wind in sin with foolishness. He drew me to him. I know him for myself. He given me a chance. I could pray for my house. I could pray for my children. Had he not drawn me, I wouldn't have known just like the rest of the squirreling birds out there squirreling around. Hallelujah. God is faithful. So listen, we're going in to take a listen to this. And when we come back, I may have one more thing I want you to take a listen to.
But as I'm falling, the more I'm falling, the more I'm feeling things getting stripped away from me. meaning such as like hope, love, all the stuff that we take for granted here that we don't realize that come from God, they're stripped from you as you're falling to this place. I'm trying to get up. Then all of a sudden, I felt something grab my head, and I can see the claw. This thing had to be huge, and it threw me. There's no form of hate here on this planet that can even get close to how they feel about us. They hate you so bad, you can feel it. The energy will kill you. You had a lot of people calling out to God. You had a lot of people asking for 5 more minutes, 1 more chance. Felt like I was there for months.
Wow.
It felt like I was there for months. And I was only there for like 3 minutes and 40-something seconds, 47 seconds.
Where were you shot?
In my stomach. Twice.
Okay.
That's why I'm still experiencing medical conditions right now. I still have fragments of bullets in me.
Hey guys, what's up? Welcome. It's Ranzo here from Know Christ. Today we have someone very, very special. He's about to share his testimony, a very, very powerful testimony, one that convicted me, one that is the most compelling health testimony I've heard, one off. Indeed, so I want you guys to just sit back, relax, and get ready. Hey, Dominic, thanks for coming on.
Whoa, thank you for having me. I appreciate you. Thank you. Thank
all
you
right.
For
so
I, yes, go ahead.
No problem. I saw your testimony on, I believe it's called Touching the Afterlife, right? Your wife reached out to me. I saw the video on YouTube, but I hadn't clicked on it yet. And then I saw an email from your wife, right, just sharing your story. And she said you never wanted to share, but she's like, you got to share. You got to share, right?
Yeah.
And then look what's happening. God is using it, right?
Yes, definitely. Because at first, I didn't want to share it. For years, I didn't, you know. And I don't think, you know, I just think the Lord put it on my heart. Everything is on his timing, not on our timing. And I want people to realize that. Everything is on the Lord's timing. And it wasn't time for me years ago to share it because I wasn't spiritually mature enough to handle all the things that are coming and the blessings that are coming from the testimony and the testimony, how it's touching others. So I just know that it was his timing, you know. But, I was very reluctant to give my testimony, but I'm glad I did.
I want to go all the way back to your story, right, from the beginning.
Sure. Well, you know, I'm originally from Chicago, Illinois. Grew up, you know, like I said, with a loving grandmother. She was the light of our family. You know, we had, you know, I mean, pretty much she tried to instill God in us, but the neighborhood that we were in, it wasn't fostering of God. It wasn't that way. You know, and my mom went through trauma. My father passed away at a younger age. And, you know, and my mom went down a dark road. She started to use drugs, unfortunately. And with that came for her neglecting me and my brother and sister in a lot of ways. You know, now that I look back on it, I'm kind of, you know, glad that she did neglect us because I wouldn't have found God to this purpose, you know. And just to throw it out there, my mom has been sober for over 22 years now. So thank the Lord for that, you know. But just starting off growing up in Chicago, it was that environment is so hellish. A lot of the choices that you have is pretty much the only gang you're going to choose. That is, I mean, your choices are limited. Job opportunities are limited. So me growing up in the neighborhood that I grew up, our district has over 500,000 people just in our district alone. So it's always crowded, a lot of gang activity, drugs, and me not having a lot of different role models. And I did. I just didn't have the discernment to see the people around me that I should have followed. But I was more following the streets. You know, I was following more of the gang life. I wanted the money. I wanted the, you know what I mean? And also I was tired of struggling. So I wanted the fast way out. So by the time I was 12 years old, I joined a gang. I don't like to glorify it, so I won't name the gang that I joined because I don't want to give them no credit at all. You know, but I did join it's the infamous street gang that's all over the country that I joined. And I started selling drugs, you know. Instantly, I was good at that because one thing about me, I love school. School was always my place of peace. It kept my mind off my neighborhood. It kept my mind off everything. So when I went to school, it was just like peaceful to me. And I always loved to educate myself. So that was another thing that I realized God put inside me. But as soon as I got out of school, it's time to put on the war helmet. You know what I mean? It's a different feel to it. But I got pretty fast. I was very smart. So I was very intelligent in learning how to sell drugs. Moved up fast in the rankings because of my intelligence. But I was using my intelligence for the wrong things. You know, I used it for the dark side. Manipulation, you know, especially when it comes to the women, like I say, money. Everything. It was just my whole focus and my aim was just totally, totally off. Because in our culture, we're programmed to worship and idolize certain things. We're, quote, makes you a man. You know what I mean? You know, and that's not the case. But I thought I was becoming a man. I thought me, you know, having a status in a gang. I thought me having money, you know, people being scared of me. me being to shoot guns, I thought that made me a man. And so the more I thought that, the more, of course, I was hungry and enticed to live that type of lifestyle.
There's one thing I wanted to touch on. You said when you were younger, some of your family members were involved in like Santeria, et cetera.
Oh,
and you
yes.
saw something. Definitely. You saw something when you were a young boy. So tell us about that if you want to share it, this ceremony thing, if you want to go into it.
Well, there are ceremonies in Santeria, in the culture, you know, Cuban culture, Latin culture, Dominican culture. They're called sweats, okay? And when I was younger, I went to a sweat, and that's where they pinch a tent, and they burn hot stoves, and you pretty much almost naked. And the whole intention is to give all the spirits a chance to come through you and in you. And that's why I knew the spirit realm is real. That's why I knew demons are real. But when I was young, I didn't know those were demons. Well, you're packed. I was packed inside this tent, and they're praying to. Okay, one thing I want people to know. In Santeria, there are 9 principalities, okay? And these 9 principalities are the principalities that run the whole world. And what happens is each year, at the end of each year, they shift different places. So each principality takes over a new territory on the earth. And when this happens, you give praise and worship to these new principalities that shift positions. And a lot of people, when we have these sweats, it's in honor of the new principality ushering in that new principality that's coming in over a certain territory. Okay, now on this occasion, I was in the sweat, a ceremony, and there were just tons of just rocks. It's an altar, okay? It's a form of an altar, but it's an altar. And, you know, you get to a point of it, and everyone's chanting. I don't want to say those names because people don't realize when you say these demonic names, they actually can come into your life from your portal. So I'm just going to say one of these principalities were being ushered in to the sweat ceremony, to the ritual. And as I'm looking, there was an altar, and this altar of hot stones, that's what gives off the heat to make everybody sweat. But this stones, the smoke that was coming from it started to become solid. Okay? Now, as I'm looking at it becoming solid, it started to form of the shape of a body. You can start to see the legs, the upper body, the arms. And I'm looking like, wait a minute, I had to kind of focus my eyes, but the more I'm looking at it, this thing is solidifying. It's becoming solid, okay? And now you can start clearly see a form of a young, beautiful lady. I mean, one of the most beautiful ladies I've ever seen in my life. I'm not going to lie to you. But she just started manifesting into a solid form, okay? Even then you can start to see the color. She had a white robe on. She was pretty much like my complexion, maybe a little darker, long, silky hair, but she completely formed out of smoke. And one thing, yes, this is
into like, a real body, into a physical
into a
body,
physical body. Okay. And one of the high priestesses that came up grabbed her hand and she stepped out of from the smoke down and they said, "Welcome, sister. Thank you for coming and joining us today." But I was so petrified that I squirmed my way through this ceremony and just took off running. I mean, I took off. Yeah, I couldn't even, because it reminded me of the same fear. Spiritual fear and physical fear are 2 different elements. Mm. It's way more magnified. That's why some people who get haunted by demonic forces and things, it's a different terror. It's not even fear. It's outside the realm of regular fear that we experience here on Earth. It's outside this dimension. That's why it's more powerful.
Okay.
So that was just one incident. And we could talk more about that. But
you were a little boy at this time. Like, how old were
yes,
you at this time?
I was 9 years old.
Okay. Okay. So let's fast forward back to gang life. You're doing all that, right?
Yes.
Your wife also said that you were just searching for religions, like searching for truth, you know,
yes,
looking
I was
into different things.
Yeah. My family can vouch for that. I was, it just always had a compelling to form with God. That's why I was Muslim. I was a Black Hebrew Israelite. You know, like I said, Santeria, New Age movement. I did so much research over the years trying to find him. And the funny part was he was with me the whole time. Mm. While I was out there looking for all these things, that's what people don't realize. While you're out there searching and trying to search, whenever you have an inkling to find him, that means he's already found you.
Okay. I mean? He's right. They're just waiting for you.
So he's already there. So
Did you look into Christianity?
I thought it was a hoax. I thought it was I'm just being honest. This is just, I'll keep it 100 as we say. I thought it was a hoax. I thought it was just a fear tactic. I thought it was just used to manipulate and control people. I thought it was a European white man's religion. You know what I mean? Come to find out, actually, it's an ancient African religion. It started, you know, but that's a whole other story. It was never a European religion, but that's what the enemy puts on our mind, because we're so used to just searching the details on things, we lose the message on things. We want to know the scientific principles of things, the historical facts, the archaeological principles, instead of the spiritual message that's come in that package. So that's another tactic to throw you off from getting to the message. And so you argue and debating with people on the outside of things, you never get his message. So that's, that's why I want people to be careful with overanalyzing the historical facts of things. We know mankind and man tampered with things. We know this. We know the man tampered with the scriptures. I don't know how many times. That's why there's so many different versions. But when you have discernment, you only can water down God's word so much. But once you have true discernment, you can see instantly his power is still in the scriptures, no matter who tried to manipulate. Man only can do so much to God's word. So, yeah, I just wanted to add that in there. Yeah.
So we're coming up to the moment now where you were shot.
Yeah.
Right? And then you have the experience, right? Lead us up to the moment where you got shot, and then what happened after that?
Sure. It was 2009. By then, I had some money, and, you know, every weekend we go to the clubs. We go to the clubs looking for girls. We're smoking some weed. We're drinking in their life, right? So for us, it's a tradition to go get new clothes. You go to the club, you got to have a new outfit. So me and my friend, we're going to go shopping during the day. We go shopping, but I kept seeing this one guy, okay? First, we went to the clothing store. I come out. He's sitting on his car. And there's something in my spirit says, something is not right about this guy. But I looked at him. He said, what's up? He said, okay, what's up? We go to another store. I come out. He's outside the second store, way on the other side of our district. Just like it's no way you can keep running to the same person. So I thought it was, wait a minute. Now my spirit really was tugging on me. Like, something is up with this guy. So again, I looked and he said, he's sitting on his car outside of the store. So I tapped my friend and said, hey man, this man is following us. This guy. And my friend laughed. He was like, dude, you're not that important. Nobody following you, man. Quit it. Nobody, you're nobody to be thinking about. Stop it. You're paranoid. Okay, I brushed it off. So later on, I come out 2 or 3 hours later, we're dressed. I'm ready to go out. I come outside the building. Guess who's standing there? The same guy. So this time I said, okay. I'm about to question this guy. I ask him, do I know him from somewhere? Where is he from? You know what I mean? Because enough is enough at this point. My spirit is telling me I need to find out what's going on. As I'm walking and approaching the guy, he had a cigar in his mouth. And he said, do you have a lighter on you? I said, yeah. And so as I'm reaching in my pocket, I saw a green flash. It's the first thing I really remember. It was a green flash. Okay. Now, it just seems like, I don't know if, it, you know, things go in slow motion. You know, when your body experiences traumatic experiences, you know, you either black out or time slows down for you. Okay, and I'm noticing how God put that in as a safety mechanism for your body, for us, so we won't be over-traumatized by the experience. But as I look up, I smell, like, I don't know if you know either with matches. Like, if you would burn a whole book of matches, like the sulfuric smell.
Yeah.
That's what I smell. But as I look up to him, and he hit me again. Wow, again. So now I'm looking at him, but he has this look on his face, and it was demonic. But it was like a I got you look, like a, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? The second time, I fall back. But as soon as I'm falling back, I feel myself falling forward.
Okay.
It's hard to explain. I'm falling back, but yet I can feel myself falling forward, and instantly, it was instantaneous. It was just like that. I was in darkness. But like I described before, this darkness is not a darkness like here on earth. It's not like you can blindfold yourself, like you can put yourself underneath the earth, super blindfold yourself and dig deeper. And it's still, this darkness is alive. You understand? It had a spiritual component to it, to where I felt that it was all over me, like it was holding me. But as I'm falling down, I can't even calculate the speed. But as I'm falling, the more I'm falling, the more I'm feeling things getting stripped away from me, meaning such as like hope, you know, love, all the stuff that we take for granted here that we don't realize that come from God, they're stripped from you as you're falling to this place, okay? I want people to be aware. Don't take anything for granted, because as I was falling, it's beyond, like I was saying before, at first, the terror, it's not fear, it's terror, and it's alive. It is really, it's a spirit. It's alive in that place. In the darkness, it's alive. It was alive. It was like the darkness had a consciousness of its own, and it was stripping me of everything good. So as I'm falling, I mean, it's so fast, and I can't even think clear, but I'm falling because people don't understand. Just say, for example, if you're here conscious, like we're talking right now, we're communicating, and then all of a sudden you're taken to another, just a whole other place instantly. It's instantaneous. There's no slow build up to it. There's no nothing there. It's boom, okay? And I'm falling, and I'm feeling this fear, but the speed of the fallingness, I can't even explain it in words, no matter what language, no matter what. It's spiritual. It's a spiritual component to everything. Now that in hindsight, and the more that I'm mature in my spirit, I'm realizing that it is all spiritual. The spiritual life, I was in my spiritual body, okay? I'm falling. Now, the first thing that hit me was this smell. The smell. But see, people don't understand. I'm going to explain it again. When you pass away, you don't lose your five senses. You know, sight, hear, touch, taste. No. They heightened. They get more potent. So they raise times a million. So you become more sensitive. They don't go anywhere. They get stronger. Mm. So like if this smell, if you were to smell this smell right now, the smell that I was smelling, there's no way your body would be able to take it here on this earth. Mm. There's no sewer, no dead bodies, no dead animals, rotting flesh. There's nothing that can compare to this smell. Okay? It is so bad. It is just, but as I'm falling, I'm just like, it's just overwhelming, the smell. And then all of a sudden, I see a little light. It's a little light. Because this darkness is so dark, you can see the light on a top of a pinhead. It's bright compared to this darkness. So to see that little light, I'm thinking, but as I'm going, I'm falling, it's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Then all of a sudden, I felt heat. I can feel heat coming from this light. But I wasn't even now that I'm looking at it, I wasn't even paying attention to the heat because I was so scared. I'm smelling this smell, but I'm starting to see it looking like a big portal. But this portal looked like it was rocks, okay? That's what I'm going to explain to people. Hell is here on earth, but it's in a different dimension, okay? Just like when I start learning scientific principles on different dimensions, it makes complete sense. It's like I'm sitting here right now, but there's different frequencies going through me that I can't even see, like microwaves, radio waves, all types of things, but they're vibrating on a different frequency. So you can have two places in one space because of different dimensions. So hell is on earth, but it's in a different dimension. All right? Yes. So now as I'm falling and I'm seeing this portal and it's open, as it opens now, I'm pretty much right then I can see every detail. Now, remember, your senses are heightened. You can see a molecule if you wanted to, if you focus and zoom in on it. I mean, that's how pinpoint accurate your senses are in a spiritual body. Now, I'm looking, and it's rocks, like stones, ancient rocks, caverns. But I fall through, and I hit the bottom. Now, when I hit the bottom.
So the opening is like rocks.
Yes.
Like a circular.
It's like you're entering the cave system.
Okay.
It was like I was falling into an ancient cave system. That's the best way I can describe it. But the rocks were glowing. Everything on the rocks was so hot. They were like yellow, orange, white. They were hot. They were so heated. That's the little light that I was seeing. When I got there, I knew exactly that was that opening. So when I hit the bottom, I mean, I slammed so hard. But I didn't even feel that pain like that. Because when I tried to move, I was so more worried. I was like... I was just panicking so bad. I tried to move and I couldn't move the way we move here. It felt like I was wearing a big heavy suit, like I was weighed like 900 pounds. So just like I'm moving my arms now and I can do this and that. No. First of all, you feel like instantly I felt I had no energy. I had no energy. And what that was, now that I realize, is that we're so used to being in our physical body. We're so used to things of our physical nature, like I couldn't breathe. When I was trying to breathe, it was like I couldn't even breathe. It's because I wasn't breathing in the first place. There's no oxygen in that place. But we're so used to being here, just like we're breathing now, we're unconsciously breathing. So I thought I was trying to breathe. So that makes my anxiety there even worse because you're so used to being in this flesh. You think you have fleshly movement. It doesn't work that way. You're stripped of everything. Remember, you're stripped of everything God gave you. So even having movement, even that comes from God. See, we don't realize that. Even breathing and just feeling, that comes from God. But that was stripped. You get stripped of all of that when you, by the time you make it there.
Were you thinking about outside at all? Or
no,
like you weren't even thinking about the earth?
No.
You were just focused on this place.
Yeah. You're so petrified. You're so scared. You're not thinking about anything here. You're not thinking about a person. You're not thinking, at that moment, you're not thinking about anything. I was so shocked. And going through, and the fear and the anxiety and just everything, you're not thinking, that's the last thing you're thinking about. You're not thinking about any of those things.
So when you realized where you were, what happened next?
I'm trying to get up. And it was so dark. She was just as dark. But all of a sudden, the only thing that illuminated that place, the first thing I saw before me were these pits. And they were like, flames are coming up. And then you can see when these flames come up, that's how you can see. But when the first pit lit up, I saw it had to be thousands, as far as your eye can see, of these pits. And they were connected in rows, but they would go so far, like, I mean, it had to be miles and miles and miles of these pits. But inside these pits, there were people, okay? But what really caught my attention, before I describe the people in the pits, were these beasts around all the pits. They were like giants. Some of them were like, and they all had like a reptilian kind of theme to them. They all looked like reptile, nasty, deformed. Some of them had long arms, short arm, with a long arm, bodies. But the ones, the giants that I saw, someone had to be like 13 to 18 feet tall. I mean, huge. I'm talking about ripped up muscles, huge. I mean, were they humanoid?
Like,
yes, they had legs, they had arms, they had, you know, chest, muscles. They were very humanoid, but not even close to humans. Not even. They were so ugly, and they. The smell that I was smelling, they stink. It was them. Like, they stink. They horrible smell to them, horrible smell. And a lot of them smell like sulfur, too. Like, that's why a lot of people who I've talked to who had experiences with demons, they always smell like a sulfuric smell. They stink. They smell bad. They smell, they're horrible. But then I also saw demons as tall as this pen. They're small. You got some, they all sizes, all shapes, all sizes. But they had, some of them had red eyes. Some of them had yellow eyes with the slits in them. You know, and some of their skins were scaly. Like I said, they had that reptile, like the reptilian type look. But some of them didn't have the reptile look. Some of them were just so deformed and ugly, hairy. It just didn't make sense. Some of them were just so disproportionate. It didn't make any sense.
Did they notice you when you fell?
No, not right away. Not right away. One of them did. And that's how I look back, because I never saw the Lord. I never saw the Lord. But now that I look back, he had to be with me to be protecting me. Because the hatred that they have for us, it is beyond description. It is beyond words. They hate. There is no form of hate here on this planet that can even get close to how they feel about us. They hate you so bad, you can feel it. The energy will kill you. If their hatred was in the form of a weapon, here on earth, you would die. You would die. They hate. When I say hate, hate is an understatement. Hate would feel like love compared to the hatred that they have for us, literally. Yeah, but as I looked at the pits and the people, some of them were like charred skeletons, charred, burned up skeletons. Some of them had flesh hanging off of them, okay? And the thing is, they were trying to crawl out, and now, I mean, because once you get there, you know that you know. You know. You know pretty much everything. You can see a person in hell and know why they're there. There's no time there. There's no time that you have to take to learn, because everything is connected. So you know that you know. And they were there to guard the people from coming out the pit. They had these spears and these ancient things, and people were trying to crawl out. They were sticking them, grabbing them, especially the big giant, grabbing them and throwing them right back into the pits and the lava. I mean, and then what got me, though, like I was saying before, I forgot to mention, was the screams and the yells, okay? It moves your spirit. The sense of the way these people were screaming and in agony and the regret and the pain, it is beyond comprehension. Even right now as we speak, that place is going on right now. And that's what reminds me every day. It's happening right now as we speak. People are there right now. And there's so many people. It's so many people. But as I'm trying to get up and I look, and I'm looking at these pits, and I'm just, now I thought I was already scared and full of anxiety. Now it's just beyond. It keeps growing. There's no limit to fear in the spiritual realm. This when you think, okay, I'm maxed out of my anxiety. I'm maxed out of my, no. It keeps growing and it doesn't stop. There's no limit to how fearful you become. You know, I'm trying to get up. Then all of a sudden I felt something grab my head and I can see the claw. This thing had to be huge and it threw me. And when it threw me, I mean, the strength of this thing, it was like me picking up this pen and throwing this pen. It was like it was nothing. So I don't care what people say, oh, I will go in down there and I'll fight. I'm sorry. No, it's not happening. I don't care if you're the strongest man on earth. You have nothing.
It's like you had no control, right? You have no control.
You have no control. You have no strength. It's like you didn't eat in months. You don't have no nutrients, no kind of muscle. None of that. That's out the window. That comes from God. And everything, that's not there. So you can try your best if you want to, and there's nothing going to happen. So as I got flung, I got hit this wall. But now, as I noticed, Lord had to be with me because I didn't feel, because of the force that I was throwing, I would have felt, I knew I was going to feel the pain. Because one thing I'm going to explain to everyone, like I explained before, my testimony is that, here on the body, we have a nervous system, right? So if I was to touch you and just pinch your hand, you would feel it only on your hand. In the spirit world, there's no such thing. If you get hit in the hand, you feel it through your whole body simultaneously at the same time.
Mm.
You won't feel it just in an isolated place where you got pinched. You will feel it all at one time. From your head.
The pain also is more intense as well.
By a million. By a million. And that's an understatement. It is, see, because the spiritual world is way, people don't understand. Everything here physical is the leftovers from the spiritual world. That's why the Lord said your thoughts are more realer. That's why you get judged by your thoughts. Because that's what the real is. It's not, your action is just a reflex of your thoughts. So now I know what the Lord means by that, because the spiritual is way more realer than this. Everything here physical is leftovers from the spiritual world. That's why I say the pain is more real. Your senses are more heightened. Everything is more intense, way more intense. Okay. Now, that's why I say when I got flung and I knew the Lord was there with me is because I didn't feel, I expected so much more pain, but it wasn't. It wasn't. I felt pain, but it wasn't what I knew in my mind, what I was calculating that it should be. But as I look up, I'm on the side and it's like a stone mountain. But in the mountain were jail cells, rows and rows of these cells as far as your eye can see up. Like, and I grew up in skyscrapers my whole life, and I know what it is to live in the sky, literally. But these things were so high, like they were built into the side of a mountain, and there were rows and rows of cells, like the old cells, not like the modern-day jails with the door with the slit. No, the bars, and they look ancient, rusty. But instantly I knew. All of a sudden, I start looking, and you can see people, activities, and all of these different cells. And then it would be like 3 feet apart, it'd be stones, another cell, 3 feet apart, like this estimating. All the way up. The same way I saw the pit all the way going across, these were all the way up as far as my eyes can see, literally. Like, I couldn't even see it no more, but you can still see cells. And instantly I knew these were ancient. I knew that the people were in there, were there for thousands of years. Thousands of years. I mean, I'm talking about biblical times. They've been in there since. You know, people can't even imagine because time, see, like we're so used to time here. You can't imagine no time. There is no time there. Time stops. There is no time in the spirit world. It doesn't exist. Time is only used in the physical manifestation for us to organize things and keep schedules. It doesn't exist. All hope is gone when you're there. There is no, at least, like for example, I was explaining. Back when I used to live my back life, because I did go to jail a couple of times. I was in jail, okay? I had hope because I had an out date, right? So you say, okay, I'm getting released in 8 months. That gives you some hope that I'm getting out of here in 8 months. But when you're in hell, there is no out date. There is no time. There is nothing to, no schedule. There is none that's gone. You know you're there. And the worst part is, I knew I deserved to be there. That was the thing that really got me. I had no rebuttals for me not being there. Okay?
So you weren't crying for mercy. You weren't calling out to God. Nothing like that? No?
No. No. And that's another thing. See, the people don't understand. The things that I were hearing, you had a lot of people calling out to God. You had a lot of people asking for 5 more minutes, 1 more chance. Please, I'm sorry. Let me make it up so you can hear everything. That's another thing I want to add. Remember I was talking about the 5 senses being heightened? You can hear everybody screaming at one time, but you can individualize every person. You can individualize every scream. You can individualize. But then I heard a lot of blasphemous things towards God. I heard a lot of anger, a lot of cursing God out. I heard a lot of, like, yeah, big time. People were angry.
Only people were making sounds. The demons weren't making any sounds or whatever those creatures were.
Oh, demons, yeah. Oh, I was going to get to that. When the demons were communicating with each other, they have their own language. And that whole language hurt my body every time they talked. Every time they talk.
So you never understood what they were saying?
Oh, yeah. You understand everything. I'm going to use the term. You overstand everything that they're saying. What they was communicating back and forth, they were calling us stupid humans. When they were grabbing and torturing humans and doing all types of things, they were calling us stupid and they were laughing. They love, they laugh, they enjoy. Because what I found out and what I saw myself through my experience is that they get energy off our pain. They eat it. It's a form of food to them. It's like a drug to them. They get high off of it. That's why they're here on earth. They keep us depressed, angry, full of anxiety, because they're feeding off that. That's their food. They literally eat that. So they cause situations for you to feel that way so they can eat. They eat off that. And in hell, they have an abundance, nonstop supply of food because all they do is torture. They say if your arm gets ripped off, your arm will grow right back, rejuvenate. And it happens over and over and over again. Like I say, I saw tons of people there where they were ripping over their mouth and pouring hot lava down their throats. They'll melt and they'll come right back and they'll do it all over again. And then they invite other demons to come and get their turn. Like I was also mentioning about promiscuous women who were there and men, but I saw my experience. I saw majority of what I saw were the women being raped by demons. This one lady was being raped and tortured so bad sexually that I'm not going to say it on here, but it's beyond horrible. But I'm talking about, it's, and then some of the tortures are so bad. I still to this day, I can smell a certain smell, especially matches. I don't like the smell of matches at all because it brings me back to that. It reminds me of that. Yeah, it does. Like PTSD, big time. I don't like that. But
your wife said you said something about. I think it was in the last one I listened to. Actually, you said you saw pastors and people like that there. Could you explain?
Yes, you know what? And I saw and a lot of them were still dressed in suits. Okay, there was like a cavern, like a cave. And a lot of them were just sitting there like they were waiting. Well, the demons would come in, especially the giant ones, and snatch them up and throw them in boxes. They were throwing these pastors in boxes. They had all types of stuff for them. They had all types of, like, they had a field day with the pastors, the fake pastors. I'm going to be honest. A lot of them were just misusing their authority that God gave them, okay? For one example, they threw this one pastor in a box, and it was an old, nasty box. But the box was filled with hot coals in it. So when they throw them in it and they close it, you can hear, I mean, the screams are beyond. Like, you can feel it. You can feel it's just the anguish and the pain. And they were throwing these things in them. They were stabbing this. They were ripping people apart. They were eating people, especially the pastors. They had a real, real good time with them. They were enjoying, like, really. A lot of people who I saw were a part of the church. Like I said, you can look at somebody in hell and know why they're there. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Like if somebody was to look at me, they'll know why I was there.
The people that were in church, what were some of the sins that they did? Like
I saw more gossipers in hell than anything from the church.
Wow.
Gossip, backstabbing, lust in the church, right? But the most of all was the gossiping, because people don't understand the power of gossip. They don't understand how powerful it is, how you can hurt somebody's life for just, you know what I mean? It was so many people down there for gossiping, you know? They smile in your face, But then, oh, look at Sister Clark, or look at Brother so-and-so. But then you're in church praying with them instead of praying for them. See, when you talk about somebody's problem, you better have a solution. If not, it's gossip.
Mm.
Plain and simple. If you're going to talk about someone's problem, you better be willing to help that person. If not, don't talk about it and stay out of their business, because that's serious. God doesn't play with gossip. And I saw that firsthand. God does not play when it comes to gossip.
And the pastors that were there, were they like fake pastors in the sense of, yeah, like, what were they doing exactly? Like, did they do?
They were popcorn Christians. What I mean by popcorn Christianity is a term that me and my friends came up with, is because they're okay, like a popcorn kernel is hard, right? A kernel of popcorn. But when you apply heat to it, it puffs up and it turns soft. That's what they were. They were acting like they were really hardened for the Lord, that they were really solid, but then the heat and the pressures of the world turned them soft and they became worldly.
Okay.
And they're fake. They use the words. Yes. Mm. And then a lot of them are, like I always say, intellectual parrots, meaning they know the scriptures inside and out. They sound good. They sound intellectual, but they don't live them. They don't live them. They fool the people. That's why I tell the people, it's not up to the pastor or your deacon or your bishop to establish your personal relationship with the Lord. That's up to you, because a relationship with the Lord is ultra personal. It's not their responsibility. And you can be, even the Lord said, don't follow a man because you never know who you are following. So why they think, oh yeah, brother told me to do this, or sisters told me to do this, and yeah, they're a man or woman of God, they lead you right to hell.
Wow.
Because you don't have
I heard you said unforgiveness too. You said unforgiveness too, right?
I was going to mention that next. The top two, the top one is gossip. The next one is unforgiveness. You know how many people say, I forgive, but I won't forget? That's not forgiveness. See, when God forgives us, it's deleted from the universe. It's gone. He doesn't remember, clearly doesn't remember. You can try to say, hey, Lord, remember I did this? He's going to say, what are you talking about? Because it's been deleted from his heart. We don't do that. We say we forgive you and still have in the back of our mind reservations and judge that person and still kind of say, I'm just going to, you know. And what? And I saw so many people there for that. See, people don't understand. Yeah, we unqualify and disqualify ourselves from going to paradise. Paradise in heaven cannot have 1 ounce of filth in it. If so, you will corrupt it. So that's why we need the Lord as a mediator to make sure he washes us from that. Because we're all imperfect. We're going to fall. We're going to have flaws. But our relationship with him and his grace, he washes us clean from that so we can enter paradise. Because you cannot have one blemish on you. It's like if you have a fresh basket of apples and you put one in with a little mold on it, what's going to happen to the rest of those apples?
The whole bunch is going to be spoiled.
Exactly. So therefore, we disqualify ourselves from getting into heaven because we're so blemished. And then we think we can do it on our own. We can't do it without him. There's no way we can cleanse ourselves the way we need to be cleansed to be on that frequency of heaven. So we disqualify ourselves all the time.
Some people would say that they would say, well, you know what? Once they're covered, they're covered. And, you know, like the pastor, for instance, he's okay. Even if he messes up, you know, like he's covered past, present, future sin. And the other gossipers or people, unforgiveness is
right.
Fine because you're covered.
Sure.
And that's something that people say. Like I saw another testimony of a pastor in Africa, a very, very gripping health testimony. Mm-hmm. He said it was unforgiveness that caused him to go to hell.
See? And that's what I'm saying. And those who say that, they obviously don't read the scriptures. Because clearly in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, says if you commit a sin and there you know thereof that it's a sin, there is no sacrifice that can save you. See? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. So all that once saved, always saved, that comes from the pits of hell itself. It's a lie. It's a lie. If that's the case, I might as well go back to the life I used to live. I got saved, so I might as well just go, let's go kick it, man. You know, hey, let's go have fun. Let's go do what we need to do then.
Those are fighting words, right? Because
yeah.
In health testimonies, you always have people in the comment section that talk about that, right?
Mm-hmm.
They always talk about it. Even when I shared my outer darkness experience. So when you spoke about the little pin, the light, I saw that. My thing was just this pitch black place that looks like a cave, right? I found myself in this place.
Mm-hmm.
And when I realized, just like you said, the hopelessness, there was a palpable sense of, as you said, you cannot get out. You know that you're stuck there forever.
Yes.
And this hopelessness was beyond anything I can describe. And when I realized where I was, I cried out for Jesus, and then I saw a little light, like a little pinprick of light, mm-hmm. way out in the distance, and I bolted to it. And when I jumped to the light, that's when I leaped out of like my bed, and that was a very traumatic experience for me. Like, so I understand.
Yes,
some of the things that I never experienced what you experienced, but I got a little glimpse of the outer darkness, and that was enough for me to understand that it's not something to be messed with. And yes. I was a Christian,
right?
I was a believer at the time, but I was lukewarm.
Yep.
I was a lukewarm believer at the time. But continue from, you saw the bars, and you saw people inside the bars, and the ancient, like some people from like way back when.
Yeah, continue from ancient there. Persia all over. You can clearly see, you can clearly tell, like these things and these people were just there for thousands and thousands of years. Even the garbs they were wearing, some of them were skeletons. Some of them, like I said, were just like ancient. But the color of their flesh was like a smoky gray darkness. It wasn't, you can't tell what race they were only by their features, but they were from all over, but they were very, very ancient. And I knew they were there for astrology, witchcraft. It's like the whole, all of them were there for worshiping other gods, worshiping Baal, worshiping demons. Like all of this was like a dedicated section to ancient, those ancient ones who were worshiping other false gods and then let other people to worship false gods. See, it's one thing that when you sin alone, cool, that's bad enough. But when you bring others to sin with you, when you become contagious and you're sinning, it's way worse. You have way worse judgment that falls upon your head. So that's what I say. Hey, if people make your own choice, but don't bring nobody with you. Don't make nobody fall with you because you're going to be held accountable, not only for yours, but for theirs as well.
So what was some of the regret? Like some of the things that they were saying, like, you know, like that they were sorry about. Stuff like that. Regret.
This is it because I had the regret. I had the review. I call it the great review because it comes a moment when you're in there where he shows you every detail, every conversation that you heard someone that you didn't even see and how that causes a ripple effect in their life. Every bad thing I did, even stealing the candy bar when I was 7 years old, to every detail that you ever did. Now, I don't know if people remember in the Bible, it says your own flesh will testify against you. See, so my own flesh was testifying against me to me. And that's when I had the feeling that I have no right to get out of here. That's when I had the feeling that, you know what, I deserve this. That was when I came with a feeling, overwhelming feeling where it hit me that, dang, I deserve to be here. There's no way I'm getting out of here because you have so many people screaming, please, let me make it up to her, or let me make it up to him. Give me one more chance to go say, you know, like, it was just so many things of regret that they wish they can do one more time to make things up to people. The things that they said to people, the things they physically did to people, the things that they stole from people, the thoughts that they were thinking about people, the gossip that they did someone and made someone lose their job or lose their reputation because of gossip. Even false gossip is even worse. When you just make up things about somebody because you're jealous of them. There's a lot of people, the spirit of jealousy. See, hell is very organized and people don't realize this. Hell is so organized. It has a spirit for everything. A spirit for everything that you think is just you. No, a lot of the times, okay, I'm going to say this loud and clear. Everyone is accountable, okay? Your flesh, you're accountable for your own actions. So I'm not going to blame everything on demons. I'm not going to blame everything on the devil because we do have accountability and responsibility for ourselves. But what I am saying is they don't have the power to make you do anything. But what they do, they're great manipulators and they're great influencers. So your flesh by default will go with the choice of the demons by default because your flesh is so weak. So they know how to manipulate your flesh to make these decisions. You see what I mean? So people need to realize that. But then, back to answering your question, the most things, like I said, that I was hearing them say is they just want one more chance to get it right. They want one more opportunity to make things right. You know, and it was just like some of them asking for 30 seconds to be on the earth. I don't know what somebody can accomplish in 30 seconds, but I mean, they're asking for time. They're just asking, can I just go tell this person, I'm sorry what I did to my mother. I'm sorry what I did to, like, you know what I mean? You know, it's just so many voices on so many different levels. And all we have to do is apply our own experience to answer that question. But I don't want to wait again till I pass away again to make anything right with someone. We need to do it right now while you're here on this earth.
Amen. What happened after the bars, right? Because I remember you said you were on a cliff after or something like that.
Yeah, and that was towards the end. I'm just going to wrap it. Yeah, because when I went, this is towards the end. There's a lot more in between that. But we can, maybe another time, God willing, I can come on a platform and explain. But I was on a cliff, okay? And it was people on the right side, people on the left side. But when I looked, it was a desolate forest. And it was a path in the forest. But these trees, it wasn't a regular forest. These trees were dead. These trees were, it was just like a dead forest, and it was black sands, black and gray sands, okay? But when I looked further up, that's when my, like, I felt this place. That whole time, I was in hell, but I call it pre-hell. But when I saw that place with these gates, I mean, it had to be 80 feet tall, 50 to 80 feet tall gates, old rock, stone castles, I knew that was hell. I knew for a fact, if I passed those gates, I'm not coming back. And so as I'm standing on the cliff, and that's why I want to tell people, when you're in hell, there's no fellowship. That's why this part, I want to make it clear that the Lord obviously gave us the opportunity, because there was a long line of people in these chains, okay? And they were coming, and they were walking on this path, but each on the side of them, like guards, almost like prison guards, but they were demons. Just some of them big, some of them walking, so these people wouldn't try to run off the path. And they were marching in towards the gates. To the gates. But one person noticed and looked up. Now I'm thinking that the person noticed the Lord behind us. But then gave them an opportunity to start screaming towards us, don't come here. Don't. They were screaming in all different languages. And I'm looking at the people on this side, looking at the people on this side, the cliff, and they were screaming. Don't. They were like giving us utter warnings. Like, don't, please. They were begging to not come. To not come. And when you can feel the sincerity and the fear and the terror, like it is beyond. Just by looking at that place and hearing them, I knew. I said, my next step is I'm about to be down there in that chain gang, heading on that path. But all of a sudden, it was just like the same force of a swish, because around when I went to different compartments in hell, it was like I was teleporting. It was boom. Boom, he was taking me. So now I know that was the Lord showing me. But all of a sudden, I felt that same back. But when I came, I got slammed into my body. And I was in the hospital. Okay.
How long did it feel like it was? You said it's timeless, right? But how long did it feel? Did it feel like you were there for a long time?
I feel like I was there for months.
Wow.
It felt like I was there for months.
Like earth months, like our months, it felt
our months here on earth. It felt like, wow. I was there for months. And I was only there for like 3 minutes and 47 seconds.
Wow. So your wife said you were pronounced clinically dead.
Minutes and 47 seconds.
What was the most memorable thing maybe that happened during that time in hell when you were being, you know, shown different things that you want to share?
What sticks out to me, all of it to me was equally, but what sticks out in my mind was, I call it the human shish kebab, where the giants were taking these big rusty poles, and they were taking humans, and they were taking them from underneath, and they were putting them on these poles, like four or five at a time, and then they were carrying them around. Like, they put these spears through them. These spears are huge, and they would take the body, and they would poke you through, and they would stuff you, and they would stuff another one on top of you, and they would stuff another one. While you're screaming and moving, and then they'll pick you up, and I don't even know where they were carrying them. But to me, I still even get visual. I still visualize it. I can still feel it. I can still smell the atmosphere. But to me, you know, besides the females getting raped, the men's getting their genitals cut off, the sexual torture, and I call it the human shish kebab torture, to me, it really, 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 those are the two that really stick out to me, really much so.
So in terms of senses, right? So I want to give people like a sense of maybe like what is it, like a dazed feeling, like you're in like a dream like state, or is it like very vivid, or
Mm-mm.
do you feel like, or you feel now like how what's it like a dream state?
Have you ever had a dream? See, there's a difference between dreams and messages. Have you ever had a dream where when you first wake up, you're glad to be here, and you look and say, "Whew, I'm glad that was just a dream." So imagine that type of feeling magnetized times 1,000. It's more real than me experiencing talking to you right now.
Wow.
It's even hard. Like I say, there's certain emotions that I feel than we feel as human beings on a daily basis that you can't even put into words, right? The descriptive part, I'm just getting close to it as I can, because there's some things that I can't even fathom to put in a human language, any language. There's no words, because everything there is so impactful and so powerful. It's energy. I can't even calculate how people, yeah.
And some people say it's fake, right? And that's the thing. When I read those comments, I feel, I'm just like, man, like,
yeah.
What do you have to say to people who don't believe? Like, people okay. who hear stuff like this and they're like, oh, it's fake.
But guess
what? Do you say to them?
The demons love that. The demons are clapping because the fact is they don't want you to believe so you can get there. See, hell does not need your belief. Hell doesn't need you. Actually, it don't want you to believe, because how can you fight an enemy that you don't believe exists? That means you already lost. So they want you. So listen, my job is just to deliver a message. I don't debate my experience. I don't have to debate it, because one thing we all have in common as human beings, we're all going to die. I'm just telling you. The Lord told me I don't have to debate anything. My job is just to tell you my experience, my testimony. People can do what they want to do with it. But I'm just telling you, like, for example, if you're in Japan right now, if you come to the United States and say, you know, the jails in the United States are not real, well, go break the law. Watch what's going to happen. The jail that's waiting for you don't need you to believe in it.
Mm.
It's sitting there waiting for you. It's a cell with your name on it, your little cot with your name on it. It don't need you to believe in it. So people who I want to say that, they don't want you to believe. So I ask you, I don't, you know, like I tell people all the time, there's 1.8 and some more million gods that are worshipped on this earth, okay? Why is it that our Lord and our Father God, especially Jesus Christ, is the only one picked on? Why is he the only one mocked? Why is he the only one out of 1.8 million known gods that are worshipped? Why is he the only one made into a curse word? Why is he the only one so disrespected? Because he's the truth. That's why. Plain and simple. I don't argue no more with people. I don't have to. They take his salvation. They take his messages. But, oh, trust me, everybody's going to be held accountable. I'm not here to scare anyone. But one thing that, especially in the Proverbs, says, fear is the beginning of wisdom, right? The fear of God.
Fear of God, yeah.
Fear of God is the beginning. So if it scares you enough to at least research yourself, what do you have to lose by praying and say, hey, show me. Show me, Lord. If you're really real, show me that you're real. What do you have to lose? But for all the naysayers, hey, I don't violate your free will just like our Lord. I'm not here to force you to believe. I'm not here to debate with you. I'm just telling you. I'm just passing on the message. Like the UPS man, what does he do? He delivers your package and he leaves. Whatever you do with the package is up to you. That's it.
So I know we're kind of wrapping up, but I want you to talk about when you came back. You came back into your body. I want you to talk about that, and then how you actually met Jesus and, you know, became a pastor, etc. I want that part of the story as well.
Yeah, well, when I came back into my body, like I said, it felt disgusting. I felt horrible. I felt like I was wearing it. It felt like if you put on like 3 outfits that were dipped in cold water. That's the best way I can describe it. It felt like I was literally wearing my body. I was wearing it like I'm wearing an outfit, and I felt nasty. And it took a while for me to get rid of that, for a couple of weeks for me to get rid of that nasty feeling, because I was, it's weird. But
so you were in the hospital when you woke up in the hospital, or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was in the hospital, and the nurses were freaking out. Everybody was freaking out because they pretty much just gave up. They were wrapping it up. I can tell the machines were outside. They were just pretty much wrapping everything up, like, because I was done.
Where were you shot? Where were you shot?
In my stomach. Twice.
Okay.
Twice. In my abdomen.
Okay.
That's why I'm still experiencing medical conditions right now. I still have fragments of bullets in me. I may have to have an upcoming. So those who are believers, you can pray. My surgery goes well. I really appreciate that, because I have to have some bullet fragments removed from my intestines, from my small intestines still, because they're starting to rust and iodize in my stomach. So, yeah.
And your wife said that they said you wouldn't walk, but you started walking miraculously.
I still, even to this day, I still have complications of walking, but they told me I wouldn't walk again correctly. I wouldn't walk at all. Now I'm walking right now. You know, I still walk with a limp. It still hurts when the weather changes. A lot of people know what that means. Like when it rains, when it snows, it's a lot of tremendous pain because I have permanent nerve damage. But that's better than being paralyzed. So thank the Lord. He gave me the ability. I'm walking again. So, yeah. But they told me I would never walk again. So
we're going to pray indeed, right? So,
yeah.
So you got up on the bed. You were probably screaming, telling them. She said that you said, like, yeah, you were screaming, and then.
I was screaming. Like, I didn't. First of all, the same way, just as fast as I left, was just as fast as I came back. Two different dimensions, like, two, boom. After that, swoosh, and it was pink, pink, and I'm just, I was so beyond, confused is an understatement, okay? But looking at the nurse's face made me more scared because she was looking at me with, and she ran out the room. So I'm like, hey, what, you know, what's going on? You know what I mean? Like, and I was scared, and I didn't want to go back, so I'm screaming, don't let me go back. Please, don't, somebody, no, help. What's going on? Like, don't let me go back. Because I can even still hear in my heart, in my mind, I can still smell hell. I can still, you know, so me being there, I just thought any second now I was going to be taken back there.
Okay.
You see what I mean? It's the most scariest feeling ever, you know.
Did he share it with anyone? Did he share the story when you got up afterwards, or you kept it to yourself for many years?
I kept it to myself for a minute, you know. I truly did, because first of all, it took a while for me to even grasp. That's how serious it is. That's how powerful it is. It took so long for me to even digest it. And it had the opposite effect at first. It gave me post-traumatic stress syndrome, with a disorder, I mean, to the point where I start drinking more when I came back because of that hell experience. It had the reverse effect at first. It wasn't like the Lord, I came from hell and all of a sudden I was just with the Lord. No. It had the reverse effect at first. I was so traumatized by it, it led me to drinking more. Even after the experience I experienced, you would think I would have woken up and just said, hey, no more. No. It made me very scared of a lot of things, different noises. Like I say, even to this day, I can't stand the smell of those matches. I can't do it. I can't. It just really brings me right back, you know. And that's why it took me a long time to come out, because the Lord had to give me the energy and the strength to even rehash this story. Because just thinking about it, that's how horrible it is. I had to have, this is his strength for me to be able to explain this without me having anxiety problems. Because just remembering, I can see it. I can still smell the smells. I can still just, you know, so I know it's him helping me tell his story. But how, yeah, go ahead.
So how did you now move from that place to actually becoming a believer? And I think your wife, did you also have a degree as well, like a pastoral degree? So talk to us about when you decided to start a ministry and follow Jesus, like fully. So,
yeah, a couple of years ago, I did get my pastoralship. It was about 3.5 years ago. National Christian Church University. But see, only reason why I did that is because I already started my street ministry a long time ago. It had no name. It had nothing. I was just out there trying to preach the word. Okay. And what I had to get my credentials for, which I thought was to be able, because I wanted to speak at other jails. I wanted to speak around, but they said, where's your credentials? I'm like, wait a minute. Why do I have to have credentials? I got credentials. I'm a believer. See, that's how I know this system is fake. You know, did Paul and them have credentials, right? Did the apostles and the disciples? No, they didn't. Their credentials was their experience. But now these days, yeah, let me see these documents. So I got it just to appease so I can go to different jails and go to different things. And roughly, we just started this full ministry, I would say roughly about, what is it, 6 months ago, 5 to 6 months ago, am I correct? Yeah, about 5-6 months ago. To start going, because before that I was still, we were out on the streets praying, passing out Bibles, but then the Lord put it on my heart, just like he put it on my heart, now it's time for you to give your testimony, it's time for you to organize this now so you can bring more sheep into the fold, so now you can do more things and get the word out there.
How long after you had the experience you started street ministry and started to say, you know what, I'm going to take this seriously and start evangelizing, etc.?
It took about a good 14 years.
Wow. So 14 years before you started street ministry?
Mm-hmm.
So that whole time, were you grappling with your relationship with Jesus? You were trying to figure things out. What happened between that time?
He was building his relationship with me. I started to change instantly. I mean, I started to notice the change in my attitude, the people I was hanging with. So I started to see the instant changes. I definitely started to change. But people don't understand. The same way there are different levels of fear, in hell, there's different levels of purity and maturity in the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
See? And also, I learned from experience, you only rise as high as your faith. Okay? You only rise and you're only as powerful as your faith. Okay? Yeah. And you're only as powerful as how much you know him personally. So he developed. He took his time with me. So now it is concrete. It is concrete. It is a part of every fiber of my being. It's a part of my character now because I didn't rush the process. I accepted it. My foundation is solid now. I didn't want to rush it because of my experience. I was authentic. That's why I'm authentic. I'm bold. I'm courageous. Yeah. I have nothing to hide from anyone because I know him personally now. See, like I told people before, there's the people love the idea of God. They love the idea of our Lord. That's not loving him. Then compared to having a real relationship loving him. Everyone loves the idea of him. And they think they love him, but they don't. I'm just being honest. So it took those years to really develop a true, authentic relationship. Mm-hmm. That's why he tells you, peace, be still. Be still. Do it the right way. Don't just rush and be scared and frightened. No, ask him to come and he will guide you on your time. Some may get it faster than 14 years after an experience, or some may get it without an experience. Every relationship is customized with him. Mm-hmm. It's unique as our fingerprint. Everybody has a unique fingerprint. Your relationship, he loves, he talks to me different than he may talk to you. Everyone's relationship is different, but the love doesn't change.
Amen. So I wanted to tell us about the your ministry, the books, because I know you have two books, and there's one that's going to have the this experience even in more detail. So tell us about your ministry and the books and where we can find you as well.
Sure, sure. Our parent ministry is called the Narrow Path Society, and we also have a ministry called Blessed to Be Chosen. You can reach us on blessedtobechosen.com. You can also email us at blessedtobechosen.com, 7@gmail.com, or you can email us at thenarrowpathsociety@gmail.com. Also, my first book is on Amazon. It's called The Toughest Enemy You Have in Life is You. My second book is in Barnes & Noble. It's called Passport to Eternity. And my third book is coming out in 2 months, God willing. It's called Spiritual Currency. And it would detail all the things that I can't talk about on here in much detail that I can possibly put into words of my hell experience and after. Also, we're doing a lot of great things. You guys, go to the website, www.blessedtobechosen.com. We're doing a lot of great things. Right now, we're trying to make sure, because we're connected with the International Bible Givers, where we get out, praise the Lord for them. They supply us with our Bibles so we can get enough Bibles to go pass out, you know, out to the streets. We pass our Narcans for those that are addicted. We're always looking for volunteers. You can give us a call. We have a prayer line and also a resource call, or if you wanted to set up an appointment to talk with me, it's area code 763-447-8562. And also we have a text to give number. It is 773, the text to give, text, T-E-X-T, the number two, give, at 773-257-0061. And also you can join us to join our group on Facebook. We have the Narrow Path Society on Facebook. Our members have been joining great. We have a great fellowship, great ministry. So you all, everyone is welcome. All questions are welcome. Now, the foolish thing is if you don't ask questions. There's nothing wrong with questions. We're here to help, God willing. And I love you all, even believers and non-believers alike. But I just hope people give God a chance. Just pray and ask. What do you have to lose? You know, so please contact us, please, because we're doing a lot of great things.
And you also have a YouTube channel as well, right? A new channel?
Yes, that is Dominic Morrow on YouTube. You can just go to YouTube. Hold on. Here, come in. I want you to meet somebody as well. This is my IT guy here, your brother in Christ.
Hey, what's up? What's up, bro?
I don't want to intrude or nothing like that, but it's Dominic Morrow, Inc. on YouTube. He's the first one that pops up. You know, we have the interviews, his music as well, and in the links in there as well, it also shows like the drop down, the email questions, anything like that. We'd be glad to hear from you as well.
All right.
Thank you, brother. See, look, I'm so good. He handles all of those things. So yes, that's my brother in Christ right there.
Nice. Do you want to like maybe pray us out and stuff? Maybe, you know, we'll pray for you too, you know, regarding like your upcoming surgery and stuff like that. And then is that okay if I pray now?
Sure, please do. I appreciate it very much so.
Father, we come before you, Lord God, in the name of your Holy Son, Jesus Christ, our Father. And I thank you even now for this moment in time and for your Son, Dominic, our Father. Indeed, you are the God that heals, Lord God. And there's no distance indeed in prayer. So I ask, oh God, that you will heal him and restore him completely, Abba Father, in the name of your Holy Son, Jesus Christ, Abba Father, that is a surgery that's coming up, Abba Father, that you'll make it successful, oh God, that even afterwards there will be no residue of shrapnel or bullets within him, Abba Father, and that he'll be able to walk fully, and that there will be no more pain, Lord God, concerning when the weather changes, the rain, the snow, the cold, etc., that you, oh God, in your mercy, in your love, in your goodness, in your grace, Abba Father, will grant him healing in Jesus' holy and everlasting name, and that which, Lord God, you've called him to, you'll bring to fruition and to the fulfillment for your glory and the advancement of your way, your will, your kingdom. In Jesus' name, I thank you for this moment in time and for your brother, my brother, Lord God, your son. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah, what a testimony. Oh, we, what a testimony. And I believe every word of it. I believe him. Yeah. I've heard others say they went to hell and said some of the same things this man said. And even the interviewer said, yeah, that happened to me. And see, he said something too. The things of God was stripped from him. It was stripped. Love, hope, all of these things were stripped. Your senses are heightened. You know, the way you can see it's heightened. Everything about it is intense. And people crying out for another chance. Give me 5 more minutes. Let me go back and tell her I'm sorry. Let me go back and get it right with him. It's too late. It's too late. When you had the chance, you didn't do it. So now it's too late. Lord, have mercy upon us all and help us to get it right at any cost. Whatever we've done to whoever we've done it to, and the things we've done unto you, God, forgive us this day in the name of Jesus. Because I tell you, hell is real, and it enlarges itself daily. See, the key to everything is to believe God's word, what he said in his word for us to believe it. Many times he sent people out to warn us, to have us to come to him. We ignore it. I'm raising my right hand because I'm guilty. Yeah, people have tried to talk to me before I come to him, and I didn't want to hear that. What you talking about? Go on about your business and leave me alone. Yeah. This is what I'm saying in my spirit, you see, in my mind, instead of taking heed. Hallelujah. Because he changed us from the inside out. And we should have evidence of this. Our life should reflect the new us. We don't just go for anything. We don't cuss. All the circular music. We don't support bad things. What's this boy's name? R. Kelly. I see folks say they love God, they Christians, but they support him in foolishness. I see people wanting to get to Hollywood so bad and be Hollywood celebrities when the door has come open to show us all of these evil things that take place. Cussing Christians. He said, put that filthy communication out of your heart. He said, it's not what go in you that defile you, but what comes out of you. So that cussing is coming out of your heart. And God deals with the heart. David said, give me a clean heart, O God, and renew the right spirit within me. God knows the very intent of our heart. So we got to clean up. We got to go to him and ask for a cleansing. We got to go to him and ask him to lead the way and teach me how to follow your lead. Teach me how to stand up and hold up the bloodstained banner. Teach me how not to be afraid of what people going to say or do to me. Because they may can destroy the body, but God can destroy the body and the soul. So we have much that is required of us. He's changed us. Are we going to reflect that change? Are we going to show the world that he changed us from the inside out? We're new creatures. Old old things we used to do, we no longer desire to do those things. We don't want to club no more. We don't want to get drunk no more. We don't want to get high no more. We don't want to do the things that's sinful but fun. We want to give that up because we got a new way of having fun now, a good time, and it's in Jesus. A good praise and worship service do us good. A good message from God through the man or woman of God is a good time. We can say amen. I can remember, I know it's not too many people that have now heard of Potter's House. And there's a bishop now, I think he's a bishop, and his name is Vaughn McLaughlin, if I'm not mistaken, that's the way you pronounce it. And he's over the Potter's House in Jacksonville, Florida. Well, before this man became over the Potter's House and all of this stuff, he had a small church back down over off 118th Street back in there, off Jamie's Road, back up in there. Little small church. And I was a member of the Household of Faith Church during the time. Household of Faith Church was just really getting started good. And we went over there for a service. I was in trouble with the law. I want y'all to hear me. I was in trouble with that kiting, you know, illegal running money from one bank to another. And I was scared, if I'm honest, because I knew that warrant was out and they was coming to serve it. And boy, I was just all over myself. I went there. And when I tell you this man preached me free, he preached me free. I left there not worrying about it. And let God did what he had to do. Because you reap what you sow. If you reap it to the flesh, you're going to sow it to the flesh. If you reap it to the spirit, you're going to sow it to the spirit. Yeah. But that word of God set me free. Yeah. And I went on in Jesus' name. I don't think I got no time off of that one. They arrested me and everything, but I don't think I did a day. Yeah. And I got out on bond and everything. Mm-hmm. You see, God will turn your life around, but we got to get serious about the word of God and living the word of God, walking according to the word of God, walking by faith and not by sight. For the just shall live by faith and not by sight. We got to get that down pat. And we'll stop worrying about all this worldly stuff. Because when I tell you what's happening now, it's ugly, 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 ugly. And I want to pray that these people miss hell because they have a chance to miss it. The day you hear my word, harden not your heart. If you hear the word and go to God, go ahead and marry him at the altar. Go ahead and say, I do. Go ahead and repent. Ask him to come into your heart and live forever. Ask him to show you the way to a Bible-teaching church. Ask him to give you his Holy Spirit and give you the ability and the mind and heart to follow what the Spirit is saying to you. That we don't fall in the ditch. That we don't fall on the side of the road. That we don't go back to old things. We cut them old friends loose. Them old family members we used to do. Cut all of that loose. Let it go. Somebody said, but I'm lonely. I'm by myself. Pray the prayer of faith. God will send you a friend. God will send you a sister or brother. He'll send you a mother or father. I heard the bishop call me daughter and I almost passed out. What? Bishop see me as his daughter. Mm-hmm. You see, I can call him right now. And say, Bishop, this, that, and this, and that. Bishop, this is it, just like I would my dad. He going to come back with a godly answer. If he don't have the answer, if he don't know what God is doing, he'll tell me this, well, daughter, let me pray. Me and Pastor going to pray, and we'll see what the Lord says. And that's what should be taking place. If we don't get a word from God, let's pray so that we can get an answer. Hallelujah. and have the patience to wait on him. Let's not be in such a hurry. Because it's not an emergency. If it would, God would have fixed it. You wouldn't have had to worry about it. Sometimes we're in the midst of a trial, and we know our trials come to make us strong. Listen, we're going to one more request of the morning. When we come back, the studio is open. If anyone has something they would like to say today, please feel free to press that number one and come in.
What the mercy of God can do. If you knew me then, you'd believe me now. He turned my whole life upside down. Took the old and he made it new. That's just what the mercy of God can do. Now I'm alive to tell the story, how I've overcome. His goodness and mercy and the power of his blood. I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done. And the power of the blood. So much power in the blood. By the mercy of God.
power of the blood. The power of the blood. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. You'll heal today.
www.JesusInTheMorningRadio.com.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. God is still showing mercy. And we have the mercy of God today. And what we want to do is go to him and express our concerns. Lord, I don't know if I'm right. I don't know if I'm on the right path. I don't know if you're pleased, Father, but God, teach me your way. Show me how to get it right with you, that one day I can hear you say, well done, that good and faithful servant. I know it's not always easy to live this life. I can't tell you that Christian life is easy. The following of Christ is easy. I can't tell you that. Because must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No. There's a cross for everyone, and I know there's a cross for me. There are many trials I have to go through because I need to learn. I need to pick up my cross and follow him. And how I'm learning is through his word and through prayer. And I have others praying for me. I attend a Bible teaching church. I attend a church where the pastor will come by and check on me. He takes a look even at my household to see how we're living. He prayed a prayer of faith for my household while he's there. He leaves the spirit of God there, a good spirit. He don't just come in there and just want to rule and reign in people's lives. But he wants us all, including himself, to do what's pleasing and acceptable unto Almighty God today. Mm-hmm. And it's already all right this morning in the name of Jesus. So we're thankful unto God. We appreciate him and we love him today. Hallelujah. We're almost at the weekend and we thank God for it. He brought us this far. Hallelujah. I have this little prayer I want to play. And after the little prayer, if no one else have anything to say this morning, I will pray us out. And we'll play the last song of the morning and pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. Listen, y'all keep Sherry's family in prayer, Stephen and Kimmy and Mr. Mason and Sherry. Keep them in prayer for me, please. I really appreciate it. I'm waiting on the bishop to contact me because I need to talk to him about some things concerning them. And y'all keep it lifted in prayer in Jesus' name. All right, let's go to this one.
Lord, may nothing separate me from you today. Teach me how to choose only your way today, so each step will lead me closer to you. Help me walk by the word and not my feelings. Help me to keep my heart pure and undivided. Protect me from my own careless thoughts, words, and actions. And keep me from being distracted by my wants, my desires, my thoughts on how things should be. Help me to embrace what comes my way as an opportunity rather than a personal inconvenience. And finally, help me to rest in the truth of Psalm 86:13. Great is your love toward me. You already see the ways I will fall short and mess up, but right now, I consciously tuck your whisper of absolute love for me into the deepest part of my heart. I recognize your love for me is not based on my performance. You love me, warts and all. That's amazing. But what's most amazing is that the Savior of the world would desire a few minutes with me this morning. Lord, help me to forever remember what a gift it is to sit with you like this. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. What a little sweet to the point prayer. Oh, we thank God this morning. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for all that has been said and done. And again this morning, we thank you for your word. But yet today, you sent your word and it healed. Lord, let this word heal us today. In the name of Jesus, for he is risen. Lord, you rose from the dead, all on our behalf. And Father, in this celebration of you rising from the dead, God, help us to celebrate you. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us to remember what you did on that Friday. Help us to remember that that Sunday you was gone. Help us to remember that you rose with all power. And there's nothing too hard for you to do for us, whatever it may be. Lord, if we're not on the right path, God, help us. Show us the right way to go. Give us a yearning and a earning to follow you. For Father, you're leading us in the right path. And Father, it's for your name's sake. Do it for us today in the name of Jesus. Help us to become your people and not straddling the fence. But Father, you won't have us lukewarm. We either got to be hot or cold, because if we're lukewarm, you'll spew us out of your mouth. Help us today to be real followers of Christ. Help us to investigate Jesus and see what he did to please the Father. And Father, we ask for that same anointing, that we'll follow you, that we'll obey you, that we'll do what's pleasing and acceptable unto you in the name of Jesus. Lord, help us to get more serious and more serious and more serious about our walk with you in the name of Jesus. Strengthen us, O God, as the trials come to give us what we need. Oh, we need you and we need your ways in the name of Jesus. Bless every caller and every listener today. Father, we ask that those that stand in the need of whatever that you will supply. And Lord, we know that money makes us happy. Money makes us glad. We want money, big, big money. And Father, nobody's mad but the devil. Do it for us today in the name of Jesus. And we bind up every evil and hindering and negative thing and spirit that's coming our way today in the name of Jesus. And Father, we cast it to the pits of hell, never to return, in the name of Jesus. And we lose all of your miracles, all of your uncommon blessings, all of your uncommon favor upon us today in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask that you would rebuke the devourer for our sake in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. We give you honor and praise. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Bless our going out today and our coming in. Again, supply the need in our lives according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. And Father, we ask all of this again in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee. while we are absent one from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today, March the 28th, 2024, in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye, and we're going to our last song of the morning. And after this song, I won't be coming back again. Have a blessed day. And thank you so much to every caller and every listener from LinkedIn. Thank you so much for tuning in. God bless you.
Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways. He will make your path straight.
Jonah got along in the belly of the whale, Daniel in the lion's den.